As always, we're glad to call upon Deacon Sullivan to open us in prayer on this glorious day.
Father God, we thank you and praise you for the redeeming blood of Christ, Lord, and for the love you've shown us and for saving us. We praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We're going to sing songs on this Resurrection Sunday morning that glorify the King. So, number 21 on your song sheets are actually, yes. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. O tell of His might, O sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy He space. His chariots of wrath the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. Now, a lot of people probably wouldn't like for us to sing that, frail children of dust and feeble as frail, but in light of God's mercy, grace, and all powerfulness, it's true. At the cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for men the creature's sin. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all I can do. at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Yes. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King. Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Alleluia. Dying once, he all doth save. Alleluia. Where thy victory o'er the grave? Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done. Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won. Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ hath opened paradise. Alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led. Alleluia. Following our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia. Blow the shofar. Announce the glory of the Lord. Well, needless to say, that's a great vocal workout, and you can be sure there are many in this world today who do not want us to sing those songs and make those proclamations, but I want to pledge to the Lord, as I have always pledged, and I pledge to you folks as well, nothing is going to stop me from praising Him, no threat of death, no threat of dismemberment. No threat of anything's going to do that. Well, I'm going to call what I'm going to do more or less an Easter Resurrection Day smorgasbord, if you will. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have a wonderful meal planned as well, and the Lord's Supper later on. What a great day to have the Lord's Supper, for sure. And though Christmas gets more of the attention in our culture, Easter Sunday is the holiest day in the Christian year. It represents the center and culmination of our hope for peace with God, our hope for salvation, and our hope for eternal life. And you're going to discover why Christians call the day of Christ's crucifixion Good Friday. And you'll see why you can believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a matter of fact and history. Now, some Christians believe that it doesn't matter if Jesus was physically raised from the dead because he lives within our heart or in their heart. It may be a popular view. This is pretty shocking if I tell you this, but in my sermon today, I'll tell you why it's complete nonsense. And of course, let me rephrase that and make sure you understand what I'm saying. The complete nonsense is not that Christ is not risen or crucifixion, and the nonsense is that Jesus only lives in our hearts. So what are we to believe in these troubled times? This Easter, Passover, and yes, they are troubled times, and of course for a patriotic Christian such as I, this week with having Patriots Day, now having Easter, Passover, Resurrection Sunday, is tremendous to me. I mean, that's really, really special. What are we to believe in these troubled times? Now, many are contentious with one another, and value systems are changing rapidly. So what are we to believe? Do we have a future? Of course we do. And the messages of Easter and Passover are messages of hope and of confidence in that future. Take heart. Be of good cheer. Keep faith in the highest of values. The seasons of Easter and Passover tell us that the best is yet to come. Both seasons are graphic reminders that we are spared, renewed, reborn, and put in touch with matters eternal. The recent inferno that damaged so much of the Notre Dame Cathedral reminds us that the things of this world are transient. Even beautiful 800-year-old buildings may pass away. But those values of which we are reminded at Easter and Passover, forgiveness, hope, love, service, freedom, liberty, and justice, will never be extinguished. Never. So at this holy season, cling to those eternal values. Resolve to follow them as you never have before. Make certain that your families know the ultimate worth of those values. Encourage your friends to live by those values. We are here to change the world and to live by eternal values in troubled times. So we will say, have a blessed holy week. Now, one of my sub-themes today in my message to you is resurrection proof. In Acts 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, you can turn there if you like. And I'm reading it from the King James today. Acts 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The former treatise I have made, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, has given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And then we look at Acts 1:3, right in that same passage. Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And I love that word infallible, don't you? And we have an infallible Savior who has given us infallible scriptures and gave many infallible proofs at his resurrection. And by the way, most of the new so-called Bibles don't like the word infallible. So they've changed many infallible proofs to something less certain. New World Translation, many positive proofs. Revised Standard Version, many convincing proofs. New American Standard Version, many convincing proofs. New International Version, many convincing proofs. And though the liberals laugh, the skeptics scorn, and the modernists mock, I want to go on record that I believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the message, I want to give four infallible proofs. And we'll be going through some of those in just a minute. On this April 21st, 2019, Anno Domini, Passover Resurrection, the main theme for my message to you today is perfect validation of a perfect life. And if you want to turn first to Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. We've actually got a whole long list of scriptures. I don't expect you to look at all of them, but we'll look at some of them. Romans 4, 25. First person that has it, go ahead and read it.
Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justifications.
Good, and you were reading from the? English Standard. So you see that in the, a little bit different in words, but who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. And I want you to keep that in mind, because Easter, resurrection, Passover, and the theme, we have a perfect validation of a perfect life. Jesus did this for us, not for himself. To be a selfless person is basically pretty much impossible, certainly not without the help of the Lord, that's for sure. Now let's look at some of the prophecies. In Matthew 17, 22 and 23, Jesus preached his death and returned to life, and that's also Mark 8:31. In John 11, we have a foreshadowing of that in the story of Lazarus. Hosea 6:2, likewise, Isaiah 53:10 through 12, Mark 15:29 through 32. Saw his mockers railing against his death and resurrection claims to return from death. Psalm 16:10, the promise of the Father not to abandon Jesus, but to bring him back to life. Jonah, 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of the fish, typifies the death and burial of Christ. The event itself. And let's read those verses. Turn to Matthew 28. Verses 1 through 7. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. And Rich, why don't you go ahead and read those? Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7.
From the English Standard Version. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." That was Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7.
Yes. Well, let's look at some of the bullet points out of that particular passage of Scripture. The earthquake, because we're talking about infallible proofs. The earthquake, the angel rolling the stone back, the guards who shook with the fear of God, the description of the glorified Savior, pure, holy, white, and power, the brave women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. A supernatural event was accompanied by unusual phenomena. Jesus kept his word, returned to life, and that's validated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Now let's look at 12 things accomplished by the resurrection. The meaning of victory over death, sin, and hell, John 10, 10b, abundant life, Hosea 13, 14, redemption for the elect, a certainty, for whom he prayed in John 17. And somebody, if you will, Kathy, if you will turn to John 17 and keep your finger on that place. Justification of the believer, Romans 4:25, raised for our justification, made right in the sight of God. validation of his deity. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. The great cause of joy and rejoicing for the Christian life, Luke 1:46-47. Power to live a victorious, holy, sanctified life, Leviticus 11:44-45. Blood sacrifice was acceptable to the Father, Hebrews 9:22. Restoration of the image of God, Genesis 1:26-7, lost since Genesis 3:4. Heaven and the future hope and home of the believer of the promise made earlier in John 14:2. God is glorified in Christ, through whom the salvation plan was carried out. Now, Kathy, you've got John 17 there. Would you read the first five verses, please?
Mm-hmm. From the English Standard Version, John 17:1-5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed.
Now, the focal point of the faith is cornerstone and what sets it apart from religions. Ephesians 2:19-22. The greatest consolation in times of sorrow, trial, pain, suffering, and agony, 1 Peter. And of course, it's worth noting right now, with all the persecution of Christians in the world today, and Jews also, but particularly Christians, in Nigeria, how many have been recently killed? In India, how many have been recently killed? Churches being burned down. Should not be a surprise. It's devastating as it is, and we are so sorry for our Christian brethren suffering and being martyred for the cause of Christ, but are we surprised to think that the enemy of our souls, the devil, Satan, wants to shut people up? And the best way to do that is try to scare them. And he's a roaring lion, as we know in 1 Peter, seeking who he can devour. Well, as I've often said, and I have a message way back when saying, I am not lion food. Literally, I'm not lion food. I'm not going to let a lion, and lions eat people. They do. They actually will hunt people and eat them. Bengal tigers would do it too. And polar bears do it, and other such. Well, I'm not lion food. And I'm not food for the devil either. I'm here to glorify the Lord, and nothing's going to scare me from doing that. And I hope that's your dedication too, because when you have that kind of dedication, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, is in you, fills you, directs you, guides you, and strengthens you even in the times of terror. So the challenge. The resurrection of Jesus showed he was victorious over death, that the Father accepted the holy sacrifice of Jesus by the blood of atonement. Easter is about regeneration, to be made new. Have you experienced the new birth John spoke about with Nicodemus? Is Easter just another day to you? Or does it have meaning to you because God had wrought a work in your heart? Your heart is a garden. It brings forth either bad fruit and weeds, if you are dead in sins, or God spiritually, fruit spoken of in Galatians 5. Fruit that is living, healthy, and God glorifying. And it's worth a note, if there is a root of spiritual life in a person, it will be evident in your life. Think about that. If there's a root of spiritual life in a person, it will be evident in your life. Yes, we will all struggle with sin. For example, Paul in Romans 7 talk about that. But Jesus said it was out of the heart that flowed the issues of life. Matthew 15, 18 through 20. No fruit, no root. Say that with me. No fruit, no root. It begins with God. A new heart and a new life is begun by God and not by us. It precedes faith. You and I are not capable of saving ourselves. Because of my sin nature, your sin nature, we read about in Genesis 3:6, we do not have the capacity to choose God. Now think about that for a moment. We do not have the capacity to choose God. It's like saying in a material sense, I don't have the money to pay for that, Dad, auntie, uncle, sister, brother. I don't have the money to pay for that. Okay, I'll pay that bill for you. I've got the money, I'll pay it for you. Now that's an object lesson of what Jesus did. We couldn't pay the bill ourselves. We couldn't even conceive of what the cost would be. So he paid it for us. And of course, when we remember that God is the author, executor, and finisher of faith, from rebirth to sanctification to glorification. I'm using hyper-theological terms, you might say. I just invented that word, hyper-theological. That's good, I like it. Because those are terms most people don't take the time to study, but they're in the Bible. You need to know what they mean. You need to be able to explain it to somebody. We recently watched a movie, and I know it's disputable and controversial, called Left Behind, talking about the rapture. Some people believe there is a rapture. Some people don't believe there's a rapture. There are people that have said to me, rapture, what do you mean, rupture? Yeah, well, let me tell you, according to the Bible, if there's a rapture, it's going to really be a rupture. There's no doubt about that. Everything will be ruptured. So when you think about these things, that nobody can save you. We watched that movie, and it's pretty horrific to think that suddenly millions of people the world over just disappear. And some people, and I remember a dear friend of mine, called her Mother Welch. She had two very wayward children. She loved them, but they just would not follow the Lord. And so one day, she showed me her rapture map. I said, Mother Welch, what is that? She said, I made a map for my wayward, rebellious children that after I'm raptured and their dad is gone, me and their dad, that they can find where we have stuff stored that they're going to need during the rapture. And of course, reminding them that they need to repent, that even after the rapture, you can still repent. I thought, now that's really a loving mother, isn't it? And so we remember that only God, and that is just what Jesus accomplished upon the cross when he shouted, "It is finished!" The sin that came into the world by Adam and Eve could only exit if God himself came down to earth and fully paid that price with his own blood. This was the perfect man making the perfect sacrifice as zero part. Let me read that again. This was the perfect man making the perfect sacrifice. Man has zero part. Now, one of the things about witchcraft, and there are people that will say there's white witchcraft, there's black witchcraft, and so forth, and then this combining Santeria and things like in Cuba and Puerto Rico and places like that that have combined Catholicism with mysticisms of all kinds and so forth and so on. You noticed that in all of those things, blood is spilt. Either a human blood or chicken blood or something, blood is spilt, because this is the enemy trying to confuse people, get them into false religions in the hope that they can trust in this false religion for some kind of salvation, and of course imitating the only blood that's going to cleanse away the sins of mankind is the blood of Jesus, because it's the only innocent blood. Everyone else's blood is tainted, if you will. So the application for us today. So today you have seen and heard and now know the purpose for which Jesus came. Luke 19:10. And of course that puts you in a difficult position, because you can't say you didn't know. You can't say you didn't hear. You can't say you didn't have proof or any of those things. All are lost in sin and doomed to hell. Oh, did he just say hell? Yes, I did. There is one. And there are going to be people going there, I'm sorry to say. I would hope that I'm not responsible for anybody going to hell. I hope that I'd be responsible for people not going to hell, because they received Christ by the witness that I gave of Christ. So, all are lost in sin and doomed to hell until God quickens your soul, washes you spiritually by his divine blood, and writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, it's interesting. I've used the terminology, God quickens your soul. We have a program that you can buy called Quicken Books, you know, so you can do bookkeeping, Quicken Books. But this quicken here, God quickens your soul, means makes you very finely attentive. Okay, it's like saying, okay, take my pocket knife and quicken it. Be like saying, okay, I'm asking you to take my pocket knife and sharpen the blade razor sharp. And do it quickly. So you can see, I'm trying to make a play on words to help you understand that word, God quickens your soul. He washes you spiritually by his divine blood and writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So your name has been written in blood, the Lord's blood. I plead that on this day, above all others, that you ponder the magnificent salvation which can be availed only in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is God. One day, each and every one within earshot will appear bodily in front of the Lord to give account of their lives. We are either in Christ, see Ephesians 1, and his beloved possession, or outside of him and remain under his wrath. And I can tell you, as we look about some of the things that are going on, some of those things the devil is doing it, and some of those things, because we are under the wrath of God for a variety of things, and I can't pass up the opportunity to say for the millions of babies, and God bless Governor DeWine in Ohio that just signed the heartbeat bill into law, a good Christian man, good legislator, a good governor. I hope others will follow, protecting the life of the unborn. So, what's a warning we want to give people? You have now been aware that you have a date with God. 2 Corinthians 5:10. It states you do have that date. And myself and all others, whoever were born, will answer to him who created us. Now think of yourself standing before a Muslim with a scimitar in his hand saying, if you don't recant your faith in Christ, I'm going to cut your head off. Or if it isn't a Muslim or an atheist or Antifa or whoever it is, what would you do? Would you be scared and say, okay, I won't profess Christ anymore? Or would you simply say, for me to die is Christ, and to die is gain? So here's the warning. flee the wrath to come, Matthew 3:7. This means you. This means you. Nobody is exempt. The wrath is God's anger against sin. We were born in sin. God is holy, pure, and hates sin. There is no sin in heaven now, nor will there ever be. There is no escape from hell apart from the substitutionary death of Jesus at Calvary. Prepare to meet thy God, Amos 4:12. God loves us enough to issue us an admonition to turn from sin unto Christ. If we continue in sin, it's proof we don't know him, despite what words have been spoken or repeated all of life. We are preparing for hell or heaven. There's no in-between, and there is no more serious matter you'll ever face. Oh, Garrett, why do you have to be so mean by saying something like that? That's like so black and white, is so right and wrong. I mean, isn't there some wiggle room in there? Well, not according to the Word of God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews 2:3. The time of our judgment is approaching. If you today ignore, mock, or hate the resurrection message, you remain in the devil's kingdom. If God washes us in his blood and he works salvation in your heart, he will bear witness with your spirit that you belong to him. You will be transferred then into the kingdom of God and forever be part of his holy kingdom. John 14, verses 1 and 2. So may God this day have mercy upon your soul, and if you are outside Christ, I implore you to come, as he bids in Matthew 11:28-30 and John 6:37-44. Your heart's still beating now. That's his grace and mercy lovingly given to you. But one day, it will stop abruptly. The publican in Luke 18:13 cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, when he was made aware of his status. If you are wise and heed his call, do the same thing now. If you belong to him, then live for him who gave his all for you and proved it on this day we refer to as Easter. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 8 and 15 warns us not to harden our hearts or ignore the salvation message. Flee to Christ. People are talking about fleeing to Costa Rica and Panama and New Zealand and Belize and everything else. No! You flee to Christ. And you flee to Christ now. So why does the church need to hear that? I guess there must be people in church somewhere who really don't know Christ, though they're in the church. And I remind you, we're talking about perfect validation of a perfect life. Jesus is the perfect validation of the perfect life. Praise God. We'll have no other king but King Jesus. Amen.